Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday, and the Packers are still very quiet on the news front. The search continues for a new defensive line coach, and a quarterback's coach perhaps may already be on staff in the form of one Luke Getsy, who ESPN reports, our old friend over there, Rob Demoski, putting out there that Luke Getsy is expected to come on board as a full-time staff member in 2025. No word yet on what that role might be. I know Rob also alluded to Bobby Slowick's firing down in Houston and the possibility that he could be in play. And there's no reporting of that, but Slowick's father was with the Packers for a stretch, and there might be some familiarity there in the building with LaFleur. And there certainly is when it comes to Getsy, who you guys will remember was on staff as a quarterback's coach prior to leaving to be the offensive coordinator for the Bears and then for the Raiders. I'm fascinated to see how this plays out, because when Getsy first made the jump from college up to the pros, it was Mike McCarthy who brought him on to his initial staff as an offensive quality control guy. And as we know, McCarthy is still out there interviewing for gigs. Potentially, maybe he ends up as the head coach in New Orleans. I wonder if, you know, LaFleur is trying to get ahead of McCarthy, maybe giving Getsy a call to come on staff wherever he might end up. But then, yes, Getsy was Jordan Love's quarterback's coach his first year in the league. And then, you know, that stint that he had in Chicago, he was definitely, I would say, and this is just my kind of opinion from the outside looking in, Eberflus very much kind of scapegoated him. And I think the same thing happened to him with the Raiders. And I know you look at the lack of production when he was with Chicago in particular, but certainly in both places. And I think that's maybe put a bad taste in some Packers fans' mouths when it comes to the idea of Getsy being back on the staff. But I do think he is a very smart, talented guy who, you know, back when Aaron Rodgers was still in the building, he was helping Aaron win MVPs. And just because, obviously, you work with Aaron doesn't mean you're a great coach. Hello, Ben McAdoo. But I do think, you know, Getsy's certainly smart enough to understand the assignment when it comes to Jordan Love, if that does end up being his role as far as a new voice and hopefully looking at things in a different way than maybe whatever, you know, Tom Clements had done with Jordan these last couple years. Maybe getting a new voice in there wouldn't be the world's worst idea. And I do think Getsy is someone who obviously not only knows the offense very well, but knows the league very well. And the way he had been working towards the tail end of this past season as kind of eyes and ears offensively for the defense, I think will help him as well. A little bit more extra experience as far as getting inside the nuts and bolts of opposing defenses. So the Getsy thing is interesting to me. It's, he's really straddled a couple lines here when it comes to his now third time with the Packers. And I'm very interested to see how it plays out. And then the other side of the ball, we still don't have any clarity on the defensive line coach, which would suggest, I would, you know, maybe think that perhaps LaFleur is leaning towards promoting from within. I you know, obviously that's just guesswork on my part, but it is interesting that he moved so fast to get to market, as Justice put it when we talked earlier in the week. But now there has been precious little movement as far as, you know, maybe not making a hiring, but possibly more interviews. I mean, all we know publicly is three names, and one of them obviously has ended up in Detroit. So still waiting any kind of news in that regard. Once that happens, of course, we will cover it here at Cheesehead TV. For you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, that's what we do. Good to see everybody mixing it up. Before we get to your questions and comments, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Get on it, folks. Going to be a fun weekend. I'll have my picks for the championship games up on Sunday morning. I'll probably do a separate video for that, so be on the lookout for that on Sunday as we get close to the final three football games that matter until the long dark of the offseason. Man, I definitely don't want to think about that right now. Vex, starting us off with a super chat. How are you, man? What can the Packers do to draft star players? Well, that's interesting you put it that way. What is your definition of a star? Does it have to be a skill position player? And it's always deflating on draft night. And we saw this play out last year when you wait and the Packers are on the clock and then they take a lineman. You know, it feels like you're having to eat your vegetables. But who knows? Maybe Jordan Morgan turns into a star offensive lineman. You got to be patient, man. I understand this desire to have every pick hit the ground running and become quote unquote star players right from the jump. And sometimes it does occur. Certainly. I think Jair was pretty much a star the second he stepped on a football field in the NFL, and things, you know, sometimes play out that way, but especially for a team in the Packers that like to bring guys along slowly, look no further than Edgerrin Cooper, who I think is on his way to being a star, but he barely played the first kind of month plus of the season, a handful of snaps at every game, and then they slowly increased, and you saw the production increase, you saw his playmaking ability. So yeah, I don't know, man. I think they've drafted their fair share of star players. Maybe they're not stars day one, but again, yeah, Edgerrin Cooper looks like a star player to me. That's just me. It's just something I'm into. Steve Anthony, how you doing, man? Cheers, Nags. Dry January, my ass. It's been dry January at Steve-O's place. If the Bills lose to the Chiefs, I'll have little interest in the Super Bowl. Yeah, man, I'm with you in the sense that I am certainly rooting for the Bills. I am big time hoping Josh Allen gets through Kansas City and the Chiefs this weekend and makes it to that stage because he's so good. And that team is playing so well. I do hope it is their year. And look, man, as someone who lived through the 80s, I remember the Bills going to those four Super Bowls in a row and losing every one of them. I can't imagine what it would mean for fans from that era to watch the Bills finally get to a Super Bowl and win it. That would be phenomenal. Nick, how are you, man? Good to see you. Been a while. Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. What up, brother? I already see mock drafts popping up on the interwebs, shaking my head. Should be a spicy offseason with that big cap space. Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too, because they don't, you know, they're not in the same realm as some of the teams with like $100 million and those big kind of amounts of cap space. But they do, after they make their signings and do all the offseason stuff they have to do, they should be hovering around $25 million. And that's just, you know, their effective cap space that they can increase if they choose to. If there is a move out there to be made and they need some more maneuverability, they have plenty of options as far as restructures and things like that. Now, I think they want to stay away from that. They finally got cap healthy. I don't think that's a road they want to go back down. But again, if there is an opportunity and they need it, some maneuverability with the cap, they've got the ability to do that. So, you know, it's nice to be in a position as a general manager where every single avenue is open. There's certainly nothing closed to Gutekunst this offseason. They're certainly not strapped by any financial constraints. That is for sure. Ryan, how are you, man? More surprising, McCarthy unemployed or Coach Prime not going to Dallas? Yeah, I got to say, of the two, I don't think either one is really that surprising. But of the two, probably McCarthy still being unemployed. Although I don't think, you know, given when he was let go, when a lot of the interviews had already been occurring around the league, didn't really give him a great chance there. Although he still, I believe, has to interview down in New Orleans because of the storm. Everything's been pushed back down there as far as getting people in the building. But yeah, the Prime thing, it's a good headline. And I'm sure he being Jerry Jones, had that idea in good faith to talk to Deion. But I think I read it's like an $8 million buyout for Deion if he were to leave and go to the NFL. There ain't no way Jerry's paying that. You guys know how cheap he is. So I do think that was more about generating headlines than anything else. Jeezy Baby, what's up? Manifest Bills Commander Super Bowl with me. I love it. I'm all in it. The rookie quarterback against Josh Allen and the Bills. I'm in on that. I think that'd be a great, fun Super Bowl. But we all know there's a decent chance it's going to be Eagles and Chiefs again. Mimsy got the same idea. Will NFL allow a Bills versus Commanders Super Bowl? Refs equal poop. That's a very good use of the emoji there. Yeah, we know the refs are annoying. They're part of the game, though, and they are woven into the fabric of the thing at this point. You know, you got to allow for horrible calls throughout the contest, usually, especially at the end if it's close. You're going to get some god-awful calls that, as a football team, you have to overcome. And it sucks, but it's, again, it's baked into it at this point. Jocelyn, how are you? These Chiefs-Bills-Ravens playoff matchups remind me of the mid-thousands Pats-Colts-Steelers. Postseason conference rivalries are the best. Totally agree, Jocelyn. And I remember having a discussion with Greg Bedard about this back when he was on the beat, and it was obviously a while ago, but... You know, it's funny because for all the stuff we talk about, the rivalries in the North, so little of it has happened in the postseason. Of course, the Packers beat the Bears to get to the Super Bowl back in 2010. But for the most part, they have not met in postseason a whole ton, right? The way that those teams that you just mentioned have repeatedly. And I do wish we could have a run where, and I thought this might be the start of it this year, but then all the North teams flamed out, where we get a little kind of NFC North rival reaction in the postseason. Maybe we're on the start of a run like that. That would be the hope, all right? But I'm with you. I love seeing rivalries in the postseason. It's really dope. Mm-hmm. What else we got here, folks? What else we got? I got that one. Oh, look at this. Joshua, thank you for checking out the stream on Facebook, man. Do the Packers go for a veteran wide receiver or pass rusher? Excellent question. I would be surprised if they went the veteran wide receiver route. I think it's just not in their nature to do so. I think a pass rusher is a possibility. Now, we have to see who ends up actually being available after re-signings and tags and things like that, but that's an avenue I could see them going down. I know the big swings are out there as far as what fans have talked a lot about regarding, you know, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett. I really don't think Miles Garrett's going to happen. Max Crosby, there's a slight chance, but even that I think is unlikely. But I do think they're obviously going to be, you know, looking, and that is the job of the pro personnel department to be kind of combing through all the guys that are available and find a fit or two. And I do think they probably, most likely, believe that the guys on hand can play better and improve and develop, and that is why they fired their defensive line coach. But I also think there's a decent chance that they augment that group, both in free agency and in the draft. Again, that's just early guesswork. Rick, what's going on, man? Would Mike want a cap-strapped Saints head coach job? It's a job, right? I believe it's the one that's left now that the Jaguars have hired Liam Cohen. I mean, he's got history. He's been in that building before as a coach. He knows a lot of the people there, including Mickey Loomis, who he'd be working with as a general manager. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a great situation, but it is a head coaching job in the NFL. So we'll see. Mark, you don't ask for much. Hey, Nags, during the offseason, I want us to get players that block, tackle, and catch the ball. Not asking for much. Mark, slow down, buddy. Just slow down. That feels awfully fast. Brady, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Yo, Nags, do you think Goody's heroic haul with X and Josh influences in making a few free agent splashes this offseason? Please say yes and appease my logic. Brady, I'm not so sure that will be the case. I'm not so sure that that's the lesson to take from what he did last season, because yes, those guys are obviously big-time difference makers and certainly helped all throughout the 2024 season. But they were very specific types of free agents. They were both coming off their rookie deals, both ascending players in the league, as opposed to, you know, a aging veteran, end of the line, just trying to squeeze one last year or two out of his career, who are obviously also the types of players that are available in free agency. I don't see them going that route. And it has to be dependent on who's available. which is why I always talk about, like, after, let's get talk after re-signings and tags, because what can look like a really robust free agent class can get whittled down real quickly. And you don't want to just sign people to sign somebody. It's got to make sense. Like, both Xavier and Jacobs made sense last year as far as coming off their rookie deals, ascending players, coming in and fitting them in within your culture and your schemes and things like that. That worked really well, and that's why Brian made those signings. You know, it's not unlike in 2019, whatever it was, when he did the four guys right out of the gate in the Smiths and Turner and Adrian Amos. You know, those all made sense, and they had the opportunity to do it, but he didn't do it just to do it. You know, I think each season, each offseason presents different realities that he will have to maneuver within. And just because there are bodies available or guys that maybe you've heard of are available doesn't necessarily mean they'd be smart or even prudent signings. The one I keep seeing kind of all over the internet and people keep asking me about is Khalil Mack, because Mack said that he is, you know, planning on continuing his career and he's set to be a free agent. I think that's the exact type of guy that Brian probably doesn't sign because he is at the end of his career. But I do think he'd be productive. He was productive last year. I think he hasn't really shown many signs of slowing down. That's the kind of signing where I would hope maybe he gets out, he being Brian, gets outside his comfort zone maybe just a little bit. Because I do think there's still opportunities to find guys who can be productive no matter where they are as far as their career trajectory. Joey, what's up, man? Do you really think Rodgers is back in New York? I think there's a chance. I think it all depends on what Aaron Glenn thinks now that he's the head coach. But I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's – I would not sit here and say, well, there's no chance he's back. I think a lot of it will depend on, obviously, Aaron wanting to keep playing and what Aaron Glenn thinks and whatever they talk about and see if they, you know, work together. But, yeah, I don't think it's impossible. Dennis, how are you, man? Thanks so much. Has there been any talk of what subjects the NFL will be talking about in their meetings? How about making the umpires and referees full-time? Dennis, it feels like this kind of comes up every offseason, and I think Roger Goodell gets asked about it almost every year during the Super Bowl. As far as I believe what you're talking about is like the competition committee. Each and every offseason, they kind of get together and get their points of emphasis across and change, tweak some rules, what have you, but I haven't heard anything. I don't think there's been much movement in that regard. You know, the NFL is more than happy keeping the status quo because we're all talking and we're all talking about it and we're all watching. And there's no real incentive for them to change it. Ryan, what's up, man? Week one, Chicago at Green Bay on Sunday Night Football to prove ownership of the Bears. Oh, I love this idea. I absolutely love this idea. Complicated fella. That is a very good point. If we had an awesome pass rusher, would we let him go to free agency? Hell no. So fans should not expect an impact rusher for nothing. Trade up on the draft if we want that unicorn. Well, if you're talking about like a rare player, yeah, you'd probably have to do that. But, you know, every once in a while, guys do make it to market. Preston Smith and Zadarius did, coming off their rookie deals, right? I can't remember the kid's name, but there's a guy with the Giants who the Packers, you know, could have potentially traded for, but ended up not pulling the trigger on that, but a pass rusher with some, you know, ability and production, he's probably going to hit the market because they paid Brian Burns. So sometimes there's opportunities, but your overall point is right. You know, it more often than not, if a guy can rush the passer with regularity and consistency, and he's pretty fucking good at it, teams are going to figure out a way to pay him more often than not. Vex, what's up, man? Matt LaFleur's play calling was the best when Malik Willis was in this year. The last games without Watson were hopeless. What happened? Hopeless. I don't know about hopeless, but they certainly seemed stagnant, right? And, I got to go back and look at those games in a kind of more meticulous way than kind of what I've done so far, which is mostly because it was so frustrating in the moment. You know, I did my rewatches, but I didn't really kind of see much creativity. Certainly didn't see what we have seen in the past when it comes to scheming guys open. I do think he incorporated some of the stuff that he did with Malik later in the year, I mean, the spinner stuff where the quarterback's spinning around handing the ball, that all was like legit off of the work they did with Malik Willis. They ginned that up because they had to. But yeah, in the passing game is where the concern lies, right? Only Matt LaFleur can really answer that question. To me, I think he got stuck with the power running game that he had worked so hard to get going, but it didn't seem like they ever had anything that worked off of it rhythmically for his quarterback. And I know he talked about how effective they were running the ball from the gun, but I don't think that helped Jordan at all. Whereas I think last year, down that six-game stretch down the end of the season when he was absolutely on fire, a lot of that came working between the gun and under center, and especially some of the zone stuff where he got out of under center into play action, that really got him in a rhythm. And that was really lacking this year. So I know he bristled at the whole play action thing, and maybe he gets back to the tape and goes, wait a second, they were right. But to me, a number one job this offseason is figuring out how you're going to regularly get Jordan Love in rhythm early in games, because it absolutely killed them down the stretch this year. Brett, that's a good question. Do you think the emphasis on our wide receivers being able to play all the positions and be interchangeable has hindered their development? That's a really good question that it's hard to get a, give a blanket answer to, simply because, we're not in the meetings or the practice field when they're kind of going through what they're being asked to do as far as being interchangeable. And not all the guys play all the positions, but they do have to be able to do a lot because of the fact that when you're on the field and if something presents itself, Jordan's got to be able to get you in and out of stuff and get to, like, if you've got a cam play on it, you've got to be able to kind of adjust what you're being asked to do in real time. So you've got to know a lot of different things. I don't think there's anything that the Packers are asking them to do that they wouldn't be asked to do in any other NFL city. Most offenses operate in a way that asks the receivers to have a lot kind of stored intellectually. And certainly there's certain kind of things as far as technique goes, guy playing on the perimeter versus in the slot and things like that, where, maybe guys are able to drill down and improve and develop a little faster. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think it would probably be a little different for each guy. And I do think the one thing that seems to, and this is just a feeling, it's hard to quantify it, and I can't really point to something specifically that tells you, okay, that's the case. But to me, more so than all the responsibilities that they have, knowing all the different positions, etc., it's more about, for my money, getting a core group of guys on the field with regularity. And I understand they have lots of talent and they want to be interchangeable and use a lot of different guys and not give defensive coordinators something to glom onto and tip their hat as far as, well, we're using this personnel, so this is what they like to run out of that group. But I do think getting, Watson when he was healthy, now he's going to be gone for much of next year, but Watson, Reed, Dobbs on the field together more often than not, I think would help. I think would have helped. Now, next year, who knows what that kind of makeup is going to look like. But I understand you want to get Wicks involved. He's really talented. You want to get Heath and Melton. We saw them contribute down the stretch last year. But to me, those three should have been your core guys, and they should have been out there way more often than not. And that goes back to something Jordy Nelson talked about this past offseason when I interviewed him. And he said he was able to set things up, like that great kind of deep shot that he and Rodgers would connect on, because he was out there all the time. And so defensive backs start getting into a rhythm with you, the receiver. You're setting them up because you're out there play after play after play, rather than you're in and out, you're in and out, you're in and out. Well, now, they're not getting into a groove with you. They're just playing, whatever the call is, along with what their tendencies are and what they think the route combo is going to be, rather than, oh, here he comes, he's blocking me again in this run play, and all of a sudden he's shooting past you. It's little things like that, again, it's hard to quantify, right? It's hard to really pinpoint it, but I do think that would have helped. And maybe that's something they turn to a little bit more next year. Mr. Englewood, what's up, man? Random Packer, Calvin Jones, RIP. RIP indeed. Carrie, that's an interesting observation. Talking Love's rhythm thing, tape shows he gets the ball out faster in play action versus gun. Do you agree or am I misremembering? I don't know. I think he's, it's interesting because remember when he first started, it was all about, oh my gosh, he's got such a slow delivery, right? And he's sped it up quite a bit. As far as like the play action and the gun and getting it out of his hand, I don't know if one's particularly faster than the other. I do think he's able to see the field really well out of play action. And you did see him last season with an ability to really diagnose stuff quickly. Cause that's the thing, you get from, you know, faking that, doing that ball fake and you whip your head around, you gotta be ready because there could be guys coming screaming right at you. But he had an uncanny ability coming off of that to see how things were developing and know where a guy was going to be. And he let it go with anticipation. This year, all that anticipation seemed to disappear. And some of that is rhythm. And some of that is just, you know, dealing with injuries. Who knows how much that knee was still bothering him. But he just seemed to get to things late really consistently this year in a way he did not last year. And I think some of that was because they weren't utilizing play action as much. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.